There's Bibles at your seats, and if you don't have a Bible at home, we love to give those away, so feel free to take that home with you. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes. We're going to be all over Ecclesiastes today, but Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, page 377 in the Bible there at your seats, if you want to follow along with us. There's one particular verse you're going to want to make sure you mark, so turn with me to that verse 12, whatever that was. Ecclesiastes 12, I think 17. We're in a series on time, and we've begun by pointing out that most of us spend more time asking what time it is than we do asking a far more important question. The question is, what am I doing with my time? That is so much more important. Not sure that's good English, but that's much more important, right? And how do I know what I should be doing with our time? How do I know what I should be doing with my time? Because time is a limited asset, this is a really important question to answer. This is a really important question to focus some of your time and energy on. So, beginning this series 4 weeks ago, we leaned into this. What do we do with our time? What does God want us to do with our time? And if you're not a Jesus God Church person, there are some applications to this that'll make your life better for a while. And so we began this series by praying a prayer. And I think there's still bookmarks out there if you want to get that bookmark before you go. It's, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, Lord. Come on, Jesus, we need your help with this, so that through that lesson, we can gain a heart of wisdom, and we certainly do as we learn to number our days. Lord, help me to live as if my days are numbered. Because guess what, church? They are. They are numbered. As we wrap up this series, I want us to listen in on what the wisest man on planet Earth ever said about how time flies, the name of this series. He wrote an entire book on the subject. The book of Ecclesiastes is all about how fast time goes. It was written around year 1000 BC. That was 3,021 years ago, almost 22 years ago, this book was written. Anyone over 50 years old, he reads this stuff and he goes, how did he know all of that? If you're under 50, you have a whole different perspective. This guy needs serious help, maybe some Prozac or something. I mean, it can be desperate at times. It's never been my favorite book, but it does have a powerful message. I want to give you some backstory on this before we get into it today. Solomon ruled during the Golden Age of Israel. That's what it's called, the Golden Age, during his years there. There was peace on every border. Before that, there was war like every other day. The Jerusalem Post would have war again with the Philistines. You know, what do these people want? You know, and all these headlines, I'm sure. And it was just constant battles. Just everyone was uncertain all the time. There was peace on every border, though, during Solomon's reign. There were massive, massive construction projects, not just the temple, but so many things that he put into the city. There was wealth beyond measure. Solomon's annual tribute that was paid to him by all the nations around them was gold, and it was not measured in ounces. We measure gold in troy ounce, which you can hardly even feel. He measured his gold in tons. Can you imagine what kind of wealth that had to be? There was gold everywhere in Jerusalem. It was as plentiful, it says, I think, as bronze or one of the other metals that was cheap. Iron, I think it compares the gold in Jerusalem to iron, actually. Solomon was incredibly bright. He had all this wisdom. He was the smartest guy in the room. The Queen of Sheba came and visited Solomon just to hear him, just to pace, to get some of his advice and listen to him. God made him and gave him an extra portion of wisdom and insight and perspective and understanding that nobody around him had. So with all of the free time he had on his hands, peace on every border, he's not going to war, all this money, and he can hire people to do all these things. He had some free time on his hands, and he gets to the end of his life, and he thinks, hey, what's the purpose of life? That's what this book is all about. What's the point? What's the point to life? Let's wrestle that down. Hey, I got some spare time on my hands. Let's do it. That's philosophy right there. He has endless resources, so why not? And he tries everything. He tries labor. He tries pleasure. He observes the rich, I guess his own life, who's richer than Solomon. He observes the poor. He observes the common laborer, the day laborer. He observes the middle class. He reads everything. He studies everything. And here's what he concludes. Are you ready for the conclusion of this? He starts out with this. The words of the teacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. I mean, da 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 da. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Fantastic, right? I mean, isn't that a page turner? Hey, Solomon, what's the purpose of life? Sorry, dude, there is none. Can anyone say midlife crisis with that? Right? This is maybe kind of what's going on with this a little bit. What does man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? A new car? A new boat? A new eye thing? A new house? Is that it? Really? Is that what this is all about? Are you kidding me? Friends, there's a promise with every new purchase. There's a promise with every new relationship that comes along. But stuff always, always overpromises. And stuff always underdelivers. It breaks, and then you leave it. You throw it away. You divorce it, or you put it in a garage sale somewhere. The bottom line is generations come and generations go, and what has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again, and there's nothing new under the sun. But throughout this book, Solomon puts a phrase in. He puts a qualifier into all of this misery. There's one qualifier, and if you miss this one thing when you're reading the book of Ecclesiastes, and listen, I missed it for years. I saw it, I read it, I thought about it, but I didn't get it. You miss this, and you will want to run out of church today and jump in front of a train. I'm telling you, this book can put you over the edge. It's under the sun. Under the sun appears 29 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. That's the qualifier. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. If all there is what we see, if all there is what we experience, then it's meaningless. Utterly meaningless. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning for that? Solomon's point becomes clear about midway through this book. His point is, if you think you can squeeze satisfaction, if you think you can squeeze purpose out of this life, living as if all there is this life, then be my guest. Good luck with that. Solomon is saying, but I've been there. I've tried that. I've married all those women. I've watched others try all of those things they thought would bring them life. And you're only going to exhaust yourself. You're only going to frustrate yourself in the end if that's all you're living for. I've already accomplished more than anybody else I know. Look at our building projects. Look at the piles of gold. Come on. I've already owned more than anybody before me. We're the richest country to ever be. I've already loved more than anybody else. I've already birthed more children than you ever will. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Come on. I mean, do you imagine birthday parties like every day? Whatever you think is just beyond the next horizon that will finally be the thing that makes you happy, it isn't there, friend. Promises to be there, but wow, it just doesn't deliver. And if you didn't already know, Solomon says, I've seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Doing the right thing doesn't always guarantee you anything. There is there is seeming randomness to life that has to be factored into all of this. But then the whole tone begins to change. What if there's more to life than just this life? Solomon's point is this. The futility of life points to something beyond this life. For any of this to matter under the sun, for anything under the sun to really make any sense whatsoever, everything's meaningless. For anything to have any purpose whatsoever, there must be more to life than what's simply here under the sun. There has to be a bigger plan than what's just here, because it's all happened before and it's all going to happen again. There's got to be a point, something bigger than what we see, what we're experiencing. There must be another context. There must be something grand. And he starts to tell us in the beginning of this, God has made everything beautiful in its time. There are certainly undeniable, isolated moments of beauty in everything we see at some point. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. We just know. We don't maybe know how we know sometimes, and we question, but we know that there's something more. Humankind has always just sort of known, because God put that in our hearts. Not based on experience, because we haven't been to eternity yet. None of us. It's in our hearts. Eternity is in our hearts. Since ancient times, every time someone, quote, proves there is no God, you know what happens? People just seem to go on believing. They just seem to keep going with this whole faith thing. We say everything has a purpose. We say things like everything happens for a reason. Do you know why? Because we know that there's something bigger out there. We just believe. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity into the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. With all of that, there's still a bunch of mystery. There's still something big, because you know what? God is bigger than we think he is. God is doing something. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. God does it so men will revere him. Listen, friends, this is saying God's will be done. There's no escaping that. There's no circumnavigating that. There's no usurping that. There's no court that can say, no, 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 God, stop right there. That's never going to happen. I thought in my heart, God will bring to judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed. Solomon is assuring us that there is a broader context. Someday will happen. Everything said, having said all of that, Solomon concludes with this statement. Now that all has been heard, hear is the conclusion of the matter. Friends, what I'm about to tell you, here is the last thing I will teach you as your senior pastor. Here is the last thing I'm going to preach at South Bay as your pastor. Ready? Take a deep breath. Ready? Fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is it. This is it. This one statement. When it matters, and when it doesn't seem to matter or make any difference, you know, life does that. When things are working out like, oh, can you believe if life were any better, I think the deck was stacked. And then when things are not working out so well, it's a whole nother thing, isn't it? When it's evident that God is blessing everywhere you look, I mean everywhere, it's like God is pouring out, lavishing His favor on you, and the sky is blue and it hasn't rained in a long time and you're just basking in the sunshine of God's glory. And then when He seems to be nowhere in sight, when you're healthy, and when you're not. Do you know what my duty is? In all of those circumstances? Do you know what my obligation is in those moments, regardless of what side of the equation I find myself on? Do you know what my purpose is? My life is supposed to be about, no matter what's happening in my life. It is to fear God, to worship God, to revere God, to esteem God, to love God, to keep His commandments, to do what He says, regardless of absolutely everything else in life. Everything else, maybe I could say it a little bit different, under the sun. Because one day the S-U-N will be gone, along with everything else. But here, let's make it a little more personal. What about your duty? Your obligation? Your purpose? Your life is to fear God, to worship God, to revere God, to esteem God, to love God, and to keep His commandments, and to do what He says, regardless of what might be going on in your life, the good and the bad, the health and the sickness, the good marriage and the, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this mess? Here's what I think Solomon would say to us today in light of everything he discovered. Here's what it would look like to live if we finally figured out our days are numbered, really. Hey, students, Lincoln, Evan, college people, Sophie, people watching online, students, you now know from this series, from all you've learned, because you're like ahead of the game. If you knew your days were numbered and you lived on purpose, you'll get it right the first time. That's the cool thing, right? You won't have to have a bunch of redos and regrets. That's a win. You have no idea, I get that, what God wants you to do right now. So listen, students, be preparing yourself. Be preparing yourself. Maximize your educational opportunities so that you have choices. That's a win. Don't waste time with people who think purpose is in what you drink. Don't waste time with people who think your purpose is in what you smoke. Don't waste time with people who think your purpose is in who you sleep with. Because listen, listen, it always overpromises. And it always, Sophie, underdelivers. Always, always, always. Travel, do it. Serve, do it. Think big, dream big, and love always. Just make sure it's the right kind of love, right? Not the kind of love that a lot of people talk about. Jesus love. That's the real deal. And listen, pray something every day. Pray two things. Listen, ready? You want to write these down, guys? Come on, get your pen out. Write these down. Students, pray this. God, show me your will for my life. Let me see it. And the second prayer is this. Help me to see as you see, so I can do as you say. Help me to see as you see, so I will do as you say. Students, live your life so you will hear when God whispers. Because God rarely, hardly ever raises his voice. And you just have to have a quiet heart. Don't get all the distractions. Singles, I know we have a lot of singles here. Resist the myth that there is something or someone out there that who will totally fulfill you. That is a complete myth. That only happens in the movies and romance novels. So don't even go there. Don't even go there. If that has become your single mission in life, pardon that pun, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. Meaningless. There's nothing new under the sun. Come on. Loving God and keeping his commandments is your best option for meeting someone who's doing the exact same thing. That's what you need to lean into. Listen, you will meet the right people doing the right things in the right places because you have a similar passion, because you are in the right places, because you are doing the right things. Do the wrong things in the wrong places and you'll meet the wrong people. Come on, this isn't rocket science. Listen, we did a whole sermon series on this. Become the person. The person you are looking for is looking for. Become that person that you want them, and think about who they're looking for and become that person. And that'll be a win. Find something valuable. Remember the big rock illustration 3 weeks ago? The big giant rocks, we put those in the jar first and everything fit. Put them in last and we couldn't get it to work. And we determine those big rocks are the really important things, Jesus, church, family, devotions, my health, right? Invest in those big rocks and everything else will take care of itself. You'll have no regret. Listen, married people with children, listen up, guys. I've counseled for a long time. Do not cheat your family for your job. Don't do that. Don't cheat your family for your career. Don't do that. Don't go there. I almost lost my family because I did that. Don't do that. Don't cheat your family for your job. That will... Listen, you'll give that up someday anyway. Anyway, everybody does. Everybody retires at some point. Your kids are your best opportunity to impact the next generation. That is your biggest investment. They are your first disciples to make. So don't trade that for a bigger house. It's not worth it. The trade, you'll regret it. Don't trade that for a shinier car. Can someone please say meaningless? Come on. meaningless, right? All of that is utterly meaningless. And I got some one specific verse just for you married people. This is so cool. This is so cool. Ecclesiastes 9:9, right in the middle of this, right? Look at this. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love. Can you just, if your wife is here, would you just take her by the hand? Come on. Tell her how much you love her. Come on. Right? Look at Charlie over there. Isn't that cute? He's a deacon. I can pick on our deacons. I was talking to somebody, y'all were here for the ordination service. I said, you can't pick on Pastor Matt anymore. He's an elder and we got to respect him. I says, but that doesn't apply to deacons. You can still pick on the deacons. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. And then he gets funny again. All the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, right? Come on, Solomon. First part's really great. But I've seen it, men who go back and trade, men who would go back and wish they could go back and trade all of their fancy stuff that they have, because they have lots of money, for a day, one day of respect and love from their wife and their children. They would give it all up. They get to the end and they have nothing but shiny junk. Are you kidding me? They chased after the wind and there is no do-over. Married people with children, don't do that. Invest in your kids, in your time, your family. And empty nesters, that's where we're at right now. I get to speak to you out of all of these. Empty nesters, you know what's finally important, right? You finally figured out what's really important. You know, come on, every one of you that have no kids at home, you know, right, Kathy? You know what's important, don't you? You figured it out. Now listen, reach back and pour out your life to the generation behind you. Don't disappear to the lake. Don't disappear to the golf course. There's nothing wrong with either. But the life they promise you in and of themselves doesn't exist. You'll never be happy there in retirement. What do you think that storehouse of experience and knowledge was given to you for? The golf course? You have things to share. You have life experience to give away now. So you get to leverage your time of life. You get to leverage the best years that lay ahead of you. You maybe aren't perfect. I get that. A lot of people have a lot of regret at those times. If nothing else, maybe your life can serve as a bad example to somebody. I mean, come on, right? You can keep a couple of young people from making the same dumb mistake you did. Talk to them, encourage them, strengthen them. Share with them your wisdom and your insight. So pour out your wisdom because you finally have some, right? Give it away. Friends, our days are numbered, but the good news is they have been numbered by God. He wrote every one of them down in a book. I don't know how big this book is, but it's a big book, and he wrote them all down before you were even thought of, before you were even conceived. And they have been numbered with a purpose. There's a purpose behind every single day that you are alive. So a purpose that is connected to something bigger than just your life. A purpose that's beyond what you can see. A purpose that's bigger than all that we see under the sun. Bigger than all of that. So live your life as if they are numbered because they are. And in doing so, you'll discover what your purpose is. The futility of life points to something beyond this life. So keep that in mind and listen carefully. Fear God and keep His commandments. Always, always, always put Him first in everything you do. That's what I've been preaching to you for 9 years. The same message for 9 years. So come on. Let's do this. We can do this, right? And just to clarify, we're not talking about any God you choose, right? We're talking only about Jesus Christ. You center upon some other philosophy or some other thing out there, you're going to be so lost one day. You focus on Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, the great I am, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You make him first in absolutely everything you do, and he will never let you down. You will never regret that decision for eternity. And it's written in your heart. You know it's coming. You better get this one right. Father, as we come before you today to close out this 9 o'clock service, Father, help us get this right. To fear God, to keep his commandments, and to always put you first in everything we do. Because the great big giant problem is out there, God, is that there's a lot of shiny junk that captures, that glistens. It's like bait hanging and dangling in front of us, and we latch on and it hooks us. We start working more hours and we forsake things that really matter, and we skip our devotions because we put in so much time this week. And God, we neglect our health, and Lord, all of these other important things suffer. When the job will come and the job will go, but you remain and our family remains. So God, help us put you first. Help us not take the bait. It's so tempting, God. Help us to put you first and put one step in front of another and always be praying, God, show me your will for my life. Father, help me to see as you see, so I will do as you say. And Lord, you will bless us. Your life blesses us. Whether we feel the blessing or not, Lord, that's emotions come and go, feelings come and go, but you remain the same. And we are in fact blessed because you say so. And we praise you for that. So pour out your spirit and your blessing in every single one in this room today. Lord, we just ask you to lift every spirit, every heart, every emotion, and just make us, Lord. This is a celebration today of all that you have done. This isn't about me. This isn't about Kim. This is about Jesus. And we look forward to all that you're going to be doing at South Bay for many, many, many years to come. The many people, when we come back and visit four times next year, we're gonna hopefully see baptisms and new people coming in and hear starting points starting and new people growing and testimonies and offering moments of changed lives and all this stuff, God. And we can't wait to see what you do and the people that you bring in to meet, and God, all the blessing that you pour out on every single one that's a part of this incredible ministry. You are God. We are not. We may have uncertain stuff in our future, but Lord, you are certain. And we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ because we fear you, because we obey your commandments, because, Lord, we choose to always put you first in everything we do. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, would you take your communication cards out? And ushers, if you could receive those. If you need more time, just look at the two ushers and you can hand it to them after the service. If you need that time. Praise the Lord. We do not have fellowship after the service because we have that big party tonight at 5:30. We're going to in the sanctuary, we're going to have a worship service, and I have a big, giant, huge surprise for you. So you don't want to miss. It's just going to be just, you're just going to show off Jesus tonight, all right, with this thing. And so you don't want to miss that. Don't want to miss that. That's going to be huge. You're going to want to get here early for seating because I think we're going to be packed out. And if we are, listen, be sensitive to guests that are here tonight. If you are a member of South Bay, if you maybe give your seat up, all right? Can we just love people enough to do that today? And we'll have seating out. We'll have those windows open, even though it's cold. The bundle up, bring, and we'll have seating out there on the, we'll be able to hear, you'll be able to see so well. So there will be extra seats out there in the balcony. I mean, the balcony, the porch. That's our balcony. Did you know we have a balcony now? We're getting big time now, Pastor Matt. So that'll be good, all right? So stand up with us. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. We love you, all right? Yeah.